Hello everyone and welcome to my show, Fit Life, Healthy Mind and Body. My name is Natalia Katowska and I will be your host. This is the UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. With over 13 years of international experience in sport and fitness, years of study, I would like to share my experience, knowledge, and most importantly, my endless love and passion for living a healthy lifestyle for my mental and physical well-being. On this show, we will be talking about fitness, sport, healthy living, nutrition, fitness fads, and more. We will be answering your questions, we will have guest speakers, and what's most important, we will exercise together. Yes, you heard me right. In every episode, we will have a healthy dose of exercises that we will do together. So we won't just talk about fit life, we will actually experience the fit life together. Are you ready? Then let's go! This difficult childhood, growing up between parents and foster care, can affect your mental health and how to find that self-love. This is the question we're going to try to answer today with our guest. Studies show that traumatic childhood events contribute to increased drug use and dependence, higher rates of depression, suicidality, anxiety disorders, post-traumatic stress disorder, and aggressive behaviors have been reported in adults who experience childhood maltreatment. Today we're speaking to Tiffany, a 29 years old MSc student in clinical psychology. Tiff has over 6 years of experience working in mental health. Tiffany's childhood wasn't easy. She was between mom, dad, and foster care. This all have had bad effect on her mental health, but she has always been determined to never give up and always try to be the inspiration to others. Tiffany, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for making the time, though.
And it's okay. Inspiration.
I would like to welcome you to the show.
Thank you.
How are you doing today?
I'm good. I've not long woken up. Yes, I think I've been, I've just been pushing it too hard, and I think I haven't had a chance to, normally I take like a day off to like just, you know, refresh and everything, and I haven't had the chance to do that yet, so.
Yeah, I understand you. Sometimes I go 100 million days without the day off, and then it's just bounced back on you. It's like your body's shutting down. So, thank you so much for making the time, because you could have just said no or rest. You made it, and I'm very happy about it, because it's very important to have you. I'm very happy to have you. We're going to talk today about, you know, mental health, about you growing up, being in between your parents and foster care, you working for mental institutions, which is... fascinating and amazing. So Alice, if you could tell us a little, who are you, what are you about, what do you do for work?
My name's Tiffany, and
why did I say Alice again? Jesus Christ, I'm so sorry. I keep using that name.
Tiff. I think because you did Alice recently.
I am so
it's in your brain.
Yeah, it's like, and because I was editing the show, so I'm like Alice. No.
It's fine. It's okay. So
who are you, Tiffany? Please tell us again.
My name's Tiffany, or Tiff. And I live in Plymouth at the minute. I was living in Wales for about 8 years to do my undergrad degree and then my postgrad degree, which I'm still doing, and I'm due to finish it soon. I am currently waiting to start my new job, which should be starting not this Monday coming, but the next Monday. And I recently competed in my swimsuit with you.
What is your job? Tell us more about, because I'm very fascinated about your job, which is the mental health.
Okay, so so for the past like 6 years I've been like a support worker, which basically means that like you go to like any mental health service or like a hostel or, you know, just a mental health place, and you just help people with like different like behavioral mental health needs. And then you've got like a specialist support worker, which basically is a support worker that specializes in something. So the job that I've got is actually it's something that I've been waiting for a long time. I've been waiting for a step up for a really long time, and basically I'll be specializing in substance misuse. So basically, so anyone with like a drug or alcohol problem, probably plus mental health. It's outreach, which means I'll be like going to them, to different sites. Just to like give them support and help. And yeah, so I'm nervous because I've never done it before, but I'm also excited because like it's a challenge. So yeah.
So why was this type of job? What inspired you to do it?
I never.
That's a stable job, though. You're actually really taking on board a lot of responsibility on your shoulders, helping people, especially drug abuse. That is a very, very serious subject.
It really is. I don't have that much experience in that, because like the previous job I had, that was only for a few months because I moved here. But what inspired me to do it? That's a good question. I never did it before. I was doing like, you know, retail and customer service, and I basically just hated it. And I felt like I wasn't like getting anything out of it. And I was like, if I stay in retail, I'm not going to go anywhere. So I think I wanted to do something different, but I wasn't sure what it was. But I think I've always, ever since I've done it at college, I've always had an interest in psychology. And I think I wanted to do something more related to that. Obviously, you know, a lot of people, like I still don't know, like I'm 29 and I still don't know what I want to do. But I think I just wanted to go down like a different path because, like I said, I felt like I was like stuck in retail and that wasn't going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
You know, when you send in your bio, you mentioned that your childhood wasn't the easiest one. If you could explain a little bit more about it. I know you've been between your parents and then foster care. Could you explain that a little bit more?
Yeah, it feels weird talking about it, but I can try. I don't want to like divulge too much, but I think maybe part of the reason why I do what I do now is because like my mum, like she's not very well. And so she wasn't like able to look after me. Like I don't think like some people are just not meant to be parents. And I think that maybe she shouldn't have been, but it wasn't a very friendly childhood. I'll just put it like that. So like I was constantly between mum and dad, basically whoever like won the court battle at the time got me. So yeah, it wasn't the nicest. And then when I was six, I went into foster care for for nearly a year, and she was like, the family I was with, they were like really, really nice. And I think I went, I can't remember. I was back and forth so often. I can't remember. Like, I think I went back with my dad, I think. I can't remember. And then when I was 13, I was in foster care again with two different families. And obviously, like, it had a really big, I was, like, always moving house, always switching schools, which obviously, like, that's difficult for anyone. And obviously, like, it had a really big impact on, you know, my friendships and school. Like, I missed a lot of school as well. And I also think, like, the emotional impact of it is Yeah, it's not easy to talk about. Like, I get uncomfortable talking about it because it's not something that you go, like, I don't go around, saying this to anyone, because I like to keep it kind of, yeah.
Of course, I mean, I think subconsciously, probably the choice of your work is probably inspired or influenced by your own experiences and your own life journey,
Probably.
Perhaps you feel that need to help someone who you needed as a little kid, but if you could maybe perhaps explain a little bit more, does being in a foster care impacted you in any way, positive or negative? Can you see that impact of that complex, difficult upbringing, childhood on your adult life?
I mean, I think it has, I think obviously going into foster care, something's wrong. So like it taught me that, I think I learned that home like isn't necessarily where your parents are. Like sometimes you can, I think I've carried that into adulthood because of what happened to me. I'm not a very like family oriented person. Like me and my family have never been close anyway, but it taught me to be well, it taught me lots of good and bad things. Like obviously on the bad side you've got like lack of trust, control issues, because I didn't have any say in what was happening to me. So I think that's it's turned me into, anyone that knows me knows I'm a bit of a control freak, but that's not really surprising. So that, a lot of bad stuff came out of it, but then a lot of good stuff came out of it as well. So like I became very independent, very self-sufficient. I think it's had like good and bad impacts on me. I'm still I'm in therapy at the minute, and I have been for about a year, so I'm trying to work through it, but it's a lot, it's a
It
lot of
is.
stuff.
I mean, I always share my personal journey as well, but I've been in therapy for several years, a few times, so there's no shame in that. I think it's courageous to admit that, okay, I have some problems, I need to work on something, and it's not easy, and to revisit certain emotions, certain events from your past is a little bit like living it again. So it definitely takes a lot to do it and to go through it. So if you feel any sort of funny way, do not, because I think
That's fine.
that's the strength, and for you to acknowledge that, okay, I want to change my life, I want to change the quality of what's happening right now, it's a big step,
Therapy's it is tough, but like I think when you're doing it, you're like, oh, is it making a difference? But then I don't know how it works for you or for other people, but for me, like I'll do something differently or I'll think about something differently, and I'll be like, it could be like a really small thing, and I'll be like, oh, like therapy is having an effect. It just like you have to stick with it, because sometimes it feels like it's not working, but it deep down it is. So
That's right. It's a long journey, and you have to look at the bigger picture. Because of course, if you focus on the just first few steps, you will be like, it's pointless, it doesn't work, it's waste of time. But then within the longer period of time, the bigger picture, you start to realize, oh, it actually works here and it works there. So it doesn't make magic without your work, but I definitely think it is beneficial. And it does have a positive outcomes on the longer term,
Yeah, it does. Yeah,
But
I'm getting there.
you have to put a lot of your own personal work in that, Even if you work on the therapy, doctor tells you to do something, you have to go home and do your homework on everything. So I think that's what also scares people and make you feel like, oh, I just don't want to do it, and I just want to move on. But by brushing problems under the carpet, you're not really solving the problem, the core of the problem. So, you know, it's very interesting because, of course, we started off that a little sad and difficult note, but you're such a positive soul, positive personality. I met you and straight away I was like, this girl is so positive, so confident, so inspiring. So how do you do it with, you know, the bag of experience that you've had?
Well, you know, truth be told, I know on the outside I appear a certain way. Like, it's not, I wouldn't say it's the front. I wouldn't say I'm faking it, but what I would say is, excuse me, I'm not always as like positive and confident on the inside as I appear. Because, like, you know, I am a very anxious person, and I am quite shy, but I think I use, it's like almost like a, not a defense mechanism, but I kind of use all the bad stuff and try and like just, I don't know how to describe it.
Turn it into positives, basically.
I've never had to think about it before. I think I just see it as, I think I just see it as being me. I think the way I see it is there's like enough bad in the world. I don't want to like add to it. And I think I'm like, okay, the way that people see me, that's who I want to be. And that's how I feel sometimes, but not all the time. I think sometimes I behave that way, even when I'm not feeling it. Cause I'm like, I don't want people to know my sad side. I want to just try and, it's kind of like fake it till you make it, but not, I'm not faking it. Is that,
I wouldn't say, because, you know, sometimes you can feel when people are trying too hard or trying to really be someone they're not. I felt like from you, it's just the aura. It's not even what you say, how you act. It's just, you can feel the energy. And I felt energy very strong. And I was like, this girl is actually rocking. And, you know, for you being so upbeat and lively, energetic, it was a very refreshing and something that everyone could benefit from. And I think a lot people do.
Yeah, I hope so.
A little contagious, you know, that energy. Like, wow.
It's interesting to hear you say that, because, like, obviously, when you're in yourself, you don't see how other people see you. And then when I get, because I've had people say to me before, oh, you try too hard, like, you make too many jokes, this, that, and the other. But then, like, when I, because, like, you're stuck in your own head, but when you hear positive feedback from external people, you're like, oh, like, you, because you don't know how you're getting received. But then when you hear it, like, it's a shock, but, like, it's nice to hear, because you're like, oh, I am having a, I just see it as being, I think because I've been through so much, I don't see it as doing anything special. I just see it as, I'm kind of like on autopilot, and I'm like, I'm just being me. So
I think that's the best thing you can do. Just be you the way you are. And I don't think it's, you try too hard, or you've, I don't know, push yourself into others. I think it came pretty natural. And I think that's what's the whole beauty about you.
Yeah.
Tell me more about your Mr. Perfect. We know that, I know that you've got engaged to that perfect Ryan. Mr. Tell us more about him. Describe him. Who is he? He must have been some very strong man to come into your life and, you know, be with you through all the, I'm sure, a roller coaster of your emotions because of your past. That's natural.
Well, oh, for me and Ryan. So, you know, when I when I met Ryan, I was with someone else, and you know, he was very lovely. But I think over time we just drifted apart, like lockdown and, you know, other stuff. You know, there's no hard feelings there at all. Like, we still talk now, you know. That's all, like, I think he taught me, like, because I've had basically nothing but probably related to my childhood and not thinking I deserve any better, etc. I've had a string of very bad, very abusive relationships, which obviously didn't help me in any way at all. And then I don't want to say his name, but I met this guy, and he taught me, like, if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't know what a healthy relationship was. I wouldn't know, like, what to look for. And I wouldn't know how I deserve to be treated. So I'll always be grateful to him for that. But I think in the end, it was just missing something. So yeah, I met Ryan January last year through a friend, because I came to Plymouth for the first time and I did not know my friend had a housemate. And I met Ryan, I was like, oh, he's pretty cute. But obviously, like, I didn't do anything because I was with someone. And yeah, so like me and Ryan, like, we kind of just like, I don't want to be like a cheesy movie, we hit it off. And we were like talking, but obviously he knew I was with someone, so like there was only like so far I could go. And then meanwhile, like, me and the guy I was with at the time, we were like gradually falling apart. And then I started to have like stronger feelings for Ryan, and like I couldn't like ignore them anymore. So yeah, we got together like July last year, and I don't know, like, I'm his first ever girlfriend. So it wasn't always smooth sailing. Like, we did have a lot of bumps in the road. But then I think over time he spent more time with me and I told him more about myself. I think he began to understand a lot more. And then, yeah, he's just, I don't know how to explain it without like going all mushy. He's just like, I don't know. He's so like patient and like, he's so laid back. And I think he's always had like a calming influence on me. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I just listen. I'm fully connecting with you on this.
Yeah. Like, honestly, like he like I said, he wasn't always like it. Like, even when we first got together, we still have, because I think going from being single for like 30 years to like going into your first relationship, like, it's a big transition. Like, we broke up like 2 weeks after we got together, but then, like, you know, me being me, I worked my magic charm on him and got him back. Yeah, I think I basically like laid down the law and I was like, you know, if you mess me around again, I'm gone. And then since then, I didn't think, you know, you hear about it all the time, don't you? Like, you know, like, people go, oh, you'll find the one. And you're like, yeah, whatever. Like, I was ready to give up. But then, like, I think, you know, it's the right person when it's like effortless. Like, it's supposed to be effortless. It's not supposed to be hard. Obviously, you need to put the work in and you need to communicate. But I think I know I found the right person when you're with someone where you're you and you don't have to be anyone else.
Yeah.
So yeah, take that advice, ladies and gents. Like, you know, take it from someone who knows.
That's what I'm talking about. That's the tip. Ladies and gentlemen, take that advice. Sorry. Yeah, I do agree with you. But you know what? Apart from what you're saying, he must be very much your person, because to deal with a woman who's been through quite a lot, you know, that's a baggage. That's something that you don't hide. And
yeah,
if you try to hide it, it will come out. So yeah, exactly. In every conversation, in daily routines, something that you do. And so as much as I tried to hide it, it doesn't work.
No, it doesn't work.
Short-term coverage. And then it comes out and then they're like, I didn't know about it.
So yeah.
Better to just say it straight away. So there is nothing to hide. And then you can just be like, listen, take it or leave it. You like it or you don't. That's me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, honestly, like, trust me, there's plenty of people out there who don't like me, and that's fine. But you know, with Ryan, like, it did obviously, like, when I first got with him, I didn't tell him this stuff, but I think you gradually like trust each other. And like, I haven't told him everything. I don't think I've told anybody everything, but I've told him a lot. And like, even though, like, obviously on some level he can never relate, because his childhood was very safe and happy, so on some level he can't relate to it, but he is still always there, and he puts up with all my mood swings, because obviously mental health can make you unpleasant sometimes, shall we say. And Ryan, like, he puts up with it all, and like I said, it's just so easy with him. So he's a good egg. He's a good egg.
Yeah, I love that. They just get you, like, okay, she just have her moment.
This is let her just have a moment. She'll calm down.
Amazing. Yeah. I love that. No, I just wanted to, you know, mention that, because it's I think it's a huge thing, and I can see how you were happy and you openly talk about him. So
shut up.
Excuse me, we're on the radio. No language, please. But yeah. No. Let's move on, because I want to know a little bit more about your work. What does it mean to be a mental health worker? What does it mean to you personally and professionally?
Okay, well, I think, like you said before, there is some tie-in with my childhood. And obviously, you know, from day one, I've grown up with mental health. It's, you know, it's always been around me. So I think, you know, on some personal level, obviously everyone's different, everyone's got their own journey and everyone's got their own stuff. But I think on some level, personally, I know what it feels like to go through that sort of stuff. And so I think when you go through stuff like that and you do the job that I'm doing, or like any mental health job, I think you bring a level of understanding that someone else couldn't. So you bring, like, you empathize. Like, I don't think you can truly empathize with someone unless you've been through it yourself. So I think on a personal level, that I can bring that to it. Professionally, like I said, I've had an interest in psychology since college. So I've been doing psychology for like 11 years. So like I've always been when I was doing my A-levels, it was like psychology was the only subject that I was like, oh yeah, I've got psychology. I've always been like interested in it. Like, I know a lot about it. And the thing about psychology is it just, there's no end point. I, you know, you could learn it for 50 years and still be learning new things. So I think professionally it means a lot to me as well, because it's something that, yeah, it can be really harrowing and challenging and emotionally draining. But it's also like really rewarding to know that even if you make a small difference to one person, or even if you like connect, because obviously the service users, they can be difficult to connect with for obvious reasons. So, I mean, even if you make a connection with one of them, like, that means a lot. So it has, I think it has personal and professional like benefits for me. So
it's rewarding, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. Mm-hmm.
Does your work affect you personally? Because you just mentioned a little bit that can be draining. Does it have any impact on your personal life, maybe relationship? And do you know how to separate those emotions? Like, you know, when you go to work, you're one person, then you come back home, you disconnect, or how does that work for you?
Oh, that's a really good question. I think now that I've done it for quite a while, it doesn't affect me as much. But it can definitely, I mean, I still struggle with it. It can definitely be difficult to separate, you know, your personal stuff from your work, especially when with someone like me, there's so much connection between them. You know, I've got mental health, I work in mental health. It can, you know, it can clash sometimes. There's been a lot of times where I've mentally, obviously, like, lockdown took its toll on everybody, of course. But there's been a lot of times where mentally I just wasn't up to it. And when you do that job, you have to be on it, because there's so much that, like, it's a very emotionally demanding job and mentally demanding. And if you're not with it, like, in your brain, you think, you know, you go to yourself, right, it's not going to be fair on me, it's not going to be fair on the service users. It's like, sometimes you have to take a step back, and it can be difficult to recognize that But at the end of the day, you know, whenever I've called in sick because of my own mental health issues, I know that I've done the right thing. Because it's like, I can't go to work and support these people if I can't, if I'm mentally not with it. As for separating them, like all the difficult stuff that happens at work, it can be difficult. Like I'm still learning how to do that. Like when I worked in my previous job, there was a lot of really difficult stuff happening. Lots of incidents, lots of, you know, emotionally taxing stuff. I think Ryan's been a big, I think if you've got like a really good work friend, which I did, you can like have a bit of a, you can like be there for each other, which definitely helps. I think, you know, support systems really go a long way. And for me, Ryan helps, because like when he would pick me up from work, you know, you have like, sometimes I wouldn't talk about it because I was like, it's too much, too stressful. I just need to like decompress. But then it also helps having someone that you can just have like a 5 or 10 minute just rant and get it all out. And then you just, you kind of say to yourself, right, I've ranted about it. Now I'm just going to, I don't know how to explain it. I think you just
doing pretty well.
I think you just finish your shift and you just decompress. And then, yeah, you have to learn to separate them. Otherwise you can't do your job properly. Yeah.
Well, you mentioned that the COVID was pretty hard on you. Of course, I think on everyone. But can you tell us, how did you go through it and why was it hard for you? More mental, physical, emotional, or financial aspect?
Yeah. Oh, it affected me in every aspect. Yeah, definitely. really, really, really badly affected my mental health. The only thing I had going for me was uni, which by some miracle I know some people that were not able to do their assignments because it, you know, excuse me, too emotionally affected. By some miracle I managed to get my uni assignments done, but financially it affected me. I wasn't able to get a job. It was really hard on me physically. Like it got so bad at one point, I was going to bed at 8 in the morning and getting up at like 3 p.m. because I couldn't sleep. And it was, yeah, I can't believe it was ever that bad, but it, lockdown was horrible, really, really bad.
How did you go through it? Did Ryan help you? How did you manage?
I wasn't with Ryan at the time. I was living with my ex-boyfriend. And he was struggling too, because he works in the music industry, so he was really badly affected as well. So between, when did it start? Like between like March and like, I got my, I was unemployed for 10 months, but that did not start until end of June. So between March and June, that was 3 really, really bad months. Oh, excuse me. I think it was tough on both of us, and it caused a rift in our relationship. So I don't like to think about that time, because it was really, really difficult.
Did you seek for help at that time? Did you talk to someone, or you just managed?
I don't think I did not start therapy until July. So I was getting counselling from the uni, which didn't really help because it was on the phone. And I also had a well-being mentor. Like, it helped a little bit, but even my well-being mentor, he could tell that I was really, really, really struggling. Just 3 very difficult, horrible months. Really, really bad.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank God that we passed that stage.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
And life turned for you completely, almost upside down.
Almost,
you have
yeah.
A new relationship, you have a new job, you have new, exciting things coming up for you, which is amazing. A little bit about physical health, physical activity. I just saw that you posted that you start your PT sessions. Tell us all about it. What is it about? Why? Because I know you promote that body positivity, a very positive self-loving image, which is incredible, and I think that's what we need to do more and see more.
Well, I've always been, not always, but like in recent years, I've always been on like the curvier side. It's really weird because like there's been lots of times in my life where I've thought, oh, I'm like a bit bigger than I want to be. But then now when I look back at pictures of that, I'm like, what was I talking about? Like I think in your head you're bigger than you think you are. Because I'm a what am I? I'm a size 14, which that's not bad. But for me, like I think it started in lockdown. Like I'm In my mind, I feel like I'm a little bit overweight. Like, luckily, I'm tall, so like it's not that bad. But like even with the Miss Swimsuit competition, like everybody knew that I wasn't fully comfortable. And then, like,
Oh, you show confidence.
no. Like, I was like, putting on the like, I was enjoying it, but like, I didn't feel fully like comfortable in what I was wearing just
Hear
because.
how people were cheering you up and how everyone was proud of
I
your
know,
performance?
I know. I know, but that's what I want to talk about though. Like, I think it's very different because like you see yourself in a certain way, whether that's right or wrong. And I think when it comes to your physical appearance and your body shape and your weight, I think I said this to one of the other girls in the competition. I was like, I get it. Like, it's great that I'm getting this support, and I'm not trying to be like, oh, don't say nice things about me. But I think if you truly don't see yourself in that way, you're not going to believe it until, I think I'm trying to think how to put it. Obviously, like, I have had a lot of compliments and a lot of support, and it is really good. Like, I'm not saying girls should not support each other, they should. But I think because I'm personally not comfortable with my weight and with my size. I'm not saying that I'm fat. I'm just saying that I need to put a bit more work in. I think until I get to where I was before, then I might be easier to believe it, if that makes sense. Yeah. Like, I'm not saying, oh, I'm fat, I hate myself, but like, I'm just
There's
not.
nothing wrong with wanting to improve your image
Yeah. I'm
yourself.
just not comfortable.
I always say it has to be a golden middle. You have to look after your mental health, your
Yeah.
brain, your intelligence, as well as after your
Yeah,
body. So there's nothing
definitely.
wrong with that. So tell us more about this PT situation, what you're doing, what you want to achieve.
I don't know. I was just on my phone the other day, and then this, how Facebook loves their adverts. So, an advert popped up, and I watched it. And like, I don't normally do this because I feel like it's a bit of a scam. But she, the woman that does it, Holly, I forget her last name, Holly something or other, she has like this I think it was an advert like, what is your metabolic type? Because I was like, I don't actually know. So I watched the video, and then she was like offering all this stuff, and it was like £26, and I was like, I can't really afford it, but I don't really want to pack. Like, it looked really good, so I was like, eh, I'll do it. It's a 90-day program, and you like have the app on your phone, which you can only access after you've paid, obviously. And like that, there's like several different programs on it for like different areas. So like all over body, your bum, your tummy, like everything. And basically, you have to like. I'm a bit worried because I'm not the best at motivating myself to exercise, but you
Well, just text me, call me, I'll motivate
basically.
you.
Yeah,
My
just text me every
motivation is
day.
screaming, and
Text
trust
me
me.
every day and be like, do your workout now.
I'm like, send me a screenshot. How did it go? Show me how sweat you are.
Oh no, don't. I did the first one yesterday, and I was like, I couldn't even finish. Like, this is how bad I am. I couldn't even finish it because I was like actually dying. I was like, I can't do it. But you have to do it every day. And I'm gonna get Ryan to take a picture, like, side, front and back today, and then I'm gonna like do 30 days of it and see.
Before and after. That's a
Yeah.
good idea. Yeah, of course you
And
should.
I need to do it. I'm seriously gonna
But
text you
tell
and be
me, okay, so you said you struggle. How did you feel afterwards when you did that? What was the feeling inside of you?
Apart from all the sweating and the hyperventilating, I was like, obviously, I was thinking, well, it's a very intense workout, so I'd be surprised if it didn't work. But I think for me, I've never been any good at motivating myself. And Holly's videos are really good because it's like she's your personal trainer, because she's like, come on, go, go, go. So I need that, but I think I need either you or Ryan or anyone who's listening, literally just message me, like, Tiff, have you done your workout today?
1.2 million people are listening, so don't be surprised if they're going to be
Okay,
messaging
that's
you.
fine. I need lots of
But
motivation. I need.
listen, you didn't answer my question. How did you feel when you did it? How did you feel about yourself, and what was the feeling inside of you?
I felt proud that I was
There you
taking
go.
the P word. I felt proud that I was like taking, because like it's not easy when you want to make that change. And it was a difficult workout, but I thought to myself, I know that if I keep this up every day, it'll get slightly easier. So,
Definitely.
yeah.
100% true. Amazing. You feel proud. Did you feel happy?
I did after. I was like, oh, you know, I may be excited because I'm like, right, if I actually do this for like 90 days, I am excited to see what the results are going to be, and I hope it will give me more confidence as well.
Oh,
But yeah.
definitely. Because you know what? It's not the actual goal that you will achieve, that you're going to lose weight or whatever it's going to be. It's actually the whole journey that will give you, I think, a lot of satisfaction and will help you to build more of your confidence, thinking like, I can do it. I am doing it.
Definitely.
Because now you're in charge. Again, if you're that control freak, like you said,
I'm such a
all up
control
to you.
freak.
You have all the tools. Now it's just a matter of I guess sticking to it. And trust me, within the time it becomes your second nature.
Yeah, definitely.
I spoke a little bit about it. I love your confidence, your charisma, and the self-love that you spread around. Tell us give advice a little bit how to build it, develop that inner strength. This go-getter person, like you remember we were queuing and you were like all to all of girls, like you look beautiful, you got this, da da da, all those comments. So I think affirmation and verbally speaking it into existence is very important. So
Yeah.
how would you advise, what would be your advice how to build it?
I have to give advice. Okay. Well, I think when you've been through a certain amount of stuff, you kind of like stop being afraid. Like, I mean, I've been in situations where I've literally had like nothing, and it teaches you to appreciate the good things more. I think that I basically just feel like I've got like nothing to lose at this point, because I've had like literally I've been in moments in my life where everything's been taken away from me. And I think you learn to make the best of like a bad situation. And like, I know it sounds cliche, but be the change that you want to see in the world. In my opinion, there's plenty of bad stuff and lies and hate out there, and I don't want to add to it. So I'm like, even if I, like I said before, even if I don't fully believe that version of myself, by being and doing and saying those things, I think it's one step closer to actually being it. So I think,
100% agree. What's next for you, Tiff? What's next?
Well, I'm very, very tantalizingly close to finishing my master's degree. I've been like metaphorically ripping my hair out every day because I'm like, oh my God, the deadline is so soon, I'm gonna cry. So my master's should finish soon, a couple of weeks. I'm doing my dissertation every day, even if it's like an hour or two, because I'm like, I need to get it finished. I'm so close. So I don't know what I'm gonna do after that. Obviously, I'll graduate hopefully in December. But obviously, I've got my new job coming up, so I'm gonna have to dedicate a lot of time to that. I've got my fitness thingy, like the PT program. But I think when uni's finished, I'm gonna enjoy actually having some free time. But then, no, because I used to love baking and reading, and like I haven't done any of that for so long. So I think I'm gonna enjoy having some free time, but knowing me, I won't stay free for very long. I know what I'm like. So yeah.
Think Well, listen, then go back to your dissertation. I'm not going to take much time. Thank you so much for really being here and opening up. I know it's
not thank you.
And it's emotional. I hope you're going to have a beautiful rest of your day, and we're going to see each other very soon.
Okay? Yes. So very, very soon.
Thank you. You have a good day.
Take care. Thanks very much.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, team, and now it's time for our short workout together. So today's workout will be all about your abdominals, your abs, your obliques, basically core workout. We're going to work for 45 seconds. You're going to have 15 seconds of your rest time, recovery time. We have three exercises that we will repeat three times. Make sure you do take 1 minute break in between those sets. Alright team, so let's start. Exercise number one, we're going to go for toe touch. So, as the name states, you're going to touch your toes. You want to extend your arms, you're going to lie flat, legs all the way up. Try to keep your legs as straight as possible. So, don't bend your knees too much, okay? And now we're going to try to touch our toes. Touch your toes all the way up. Breathe out on the top. Breathe in on the bottom. And again, breathe out on top. Breathe in on the bottom. And again, keep touching those toes for 45 seconds, team. Then you're going to take your 15 seconds break rest time. Number two, exercise number two, it's a Russian twist. So you're going to sit in a V shape. Make sure your back is flat. Chest forward, chin up. Squeeze your shoulder blades, engage your core. Legs up, easier version, you can keep your heels on the floor. More advanced version, keep your legs off the floor, heels off the floor. Bend your knees and you're gonna rotate your torso. Touch side, touch the other side. Hands can touch the floor or you can keep it in the air. And rotate, twist, left, right, and keep breathing. Breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out. If the explanation is not clear enough, you always can visit my Instagram, Fitness with NK, to see how the exercise should look like. Number three, team, we're gonna go for single leg touch. So you're going back to the same position as for your toe touches. You're lying flat. Keep your legs on the floor, keep your arm fully extended behind your head. You're gonna touch left leg to your right hand and opposite. Touch and touch. Again, keep your arms straight, keep your legs as straight as possible. Try to avoid bending your elbows and bending your knees. Please, please, please do make sure that you breathe all the time. So touch, breathe out, release, breathe in, and touch. Breathe out, release, and keep going. 45 seconds, team. Again, if something is unclear, please make sure you go to my Instagram to see this workout. Alright, team, and so we've done our three exercises. Toe touches, Russian twist, and single leg touch. Now we're taking 1 full minute of your rest time. You can drink some water, you can walk it out, and then we're starting the same three exercises all over again. After block number two, you're again going to take 1 minute break and start your block number three. Great, team, great. So in this case, we have 9 minutes of your work with a break, 12 minutes. Easy, very easy workout to do at home in any sort of environment. You can always find a mat, go on the floor and try to give your core, your abs, your obliques that extra push. 10 minutes on a day, trust me, very, very much needed for your core. Please make sure you tag me in your workouts. If you have your version of your workout, always upload it. Make sure you tag me. I want to see how you're doing, how you coping with this particular workout. Thank you so much for joining in and doing this workout. If you're interested in more free workouts, please make sure you visit my website www.nataliakotowska.com. See you next time, team. Cheers. children in foster care have a higher incidence of mental disturbances than kids not in foster care, Harden writes. Depression, poor social skills, and negative behaviors like anger and aggression all occur more commonly in children who have spent time in the foster care system. According to Woolgar, the continuing plasticity of the brain allows appropriate therapeutic work to be done, enabling the child to become less impulsive and more engaged in relationships. High quality, nurturing care and other positive experiences can help repair entire damage. I hope you enjoyed today's episode as well as our short workout together. Share with me your thoughts, comments, DM me with your life stories. If you have any questions or you would like me to talk about any particular subject, please contact me. Follow me on Instagram, fitnesswithnk, when you can leave your message. And make sure you visit my website www.nataliakotowska.com for more information and free workouts. Thank you very much for tuning in. Thank you for listening. And I will see you next time.